Welcome to the podcast, Claim Your Excellent Life, with your host, Suzanne Kellner-Zink, where she helps professional women learn how to be happy. Suzanne will teach you how to do this through building high self-esteem, relaxation and calm, and good, healthy relationships. Tune in every week as Suzanne shares effective strategies to help you claim your excellent life with happiness techniques, self-esteem building exercises, relationship tips, and relaxation information. Make sure to head over to dawningvisions.com to subscribe to the newsletter to receive your keys to happiness, as well as other useful free gifts for you.
In this episode of Claim Your Excellent Life, we are going to be speaking about boundaries. Do you find others not respecting your time? Man, the other day I was out with a gentleman friend. We had made the date relatively, well, only a couple hours before we were going to meet, actually. And when we arrived at the same time to this tea house that we had agreed to meet at, the first thing out of his mouth was, "By the way, my daughter's dropping off my 3-year-old grandson. He's really cute. Take a look at his picture. I hope you don't mind." Well, when you're having a conversation with an adult, you really don't want a 3-year-old playing with toys and games, running all over the place, and throwing things everywhere. Now, it didn't necessarily piss me off that he had his grandson. What pissed me off was the fact that he felt obligated to take his grandson when his 29-year-old daughter didn't want to reschedule her date. And I had just one question for him, and the question was simply this. Was this your responsibility, this 3-year-old? Whose child is it anyway? Because if it's not your child, it's not your responsibility. You already had a date. So why are you putting yourself out for somebody else who could reschedule her own date or pay a babysitter? Hello, what a concept. Pay someone to take care of your kid. I know I got paid a lot over the years to take care of other people's kids. I don't understand why it is that people have children. They want to take them everywhere they go, or they want to dump them on their parents. My parents had very simple rules when it came to their children's children. We raised you. We're done. If you can't afford a child, if you can't take care of your child, if you're in a lousy marriage, it's not time to have a child. Very simple. And although my mom was kind of a spendaholic and she enjoyed taking my older sister out to buy clothes for her child, that would be my eldest sister, or shall I say children, and then dumping them in my and my younger sister's lap to take care of. That was a whole different story, and I'm not going into that story. However, you can understand why it might be that I really don't feel the responsibility to take care of someone else's kid, especially on a date. So please, if you have a situation like that going on with you, you need to get very clear with your date and ask them, whose child is this? Especially if you're an older person like me, I'm 55 freaking years old. And yes, I know parents want to help their kids, and there's something called codependence. Make your kid take care of their own kid for a change. That's my story on that story. He leaves with the grandchild to go visit a cousin, and I'm online to get my refill for my tea. I'm speaking to this very lovely young woman, and we were talking about East Coast versus West Coast personalities, because she's a California girl and I was raised in New York. Maybe my attitude tells you this. Not the city, Westchester County, just to let you know, in the burbs. And I spent 35 years in Metro Boston area, mainly in the suburbs. People from the East Coast don't like to put up with a lot of other people's crap. Really, we don't. So when the phone call came through and the name on the phone was Rick, the woman said she had to take it. Fine, we had just met. It was no big deal. But then it was very hard to hear anyone because in those tea coffee places, they have noisy machinery and you have people talking all around you and it's loud and inconvenient. And she was having a really hard time hearing him. And she said not once, not twice, 3 times she told him she would give him a call when she got home, when she could actually hear what he was saying. And the man would not listen. He kept going on and on and on and on. And finally, it was only about 5 minutes, but it was about 4 minutes and 30 seconds longer than it needed to be if he would have just listened and abided by her boundaries. Another boundary break. I don't know about you, but I don't smoke. However, there's this issue with people who smoke who feel that anyone else who smokes needs to give them cigarettes all the time. I don't understand why or how this occurs. If you want to smoke, blacken your lungs and kill yourself on a long, slow journey, go do it on your own time and your own money, okay? Stop asking your parents and for your friends to give you cigarettes. If you have a habit, you need to be able to afford your habit. And if you don't want to afford your habit, stop the habit. There's many ways of going about it. And by the way, 95% of all cigarette smokers stop with a decision to stop smoking. So please don't give me the excuse that you cannot do it. There's about maybe 3 to 5% who are totally addicted, physically speaking, to the nicotine. It's a very tiny amount of people. It's basically a trigger response mechanism. You have something in your hand, you want to blow on it, you get a little relaxed, with every fourth breath you take, you have fresh air. It generalizes to maybe wanting to be cool when you're a teenager, to maybe when you go out drinking with your buddies because you think it's cool to go out drinking and smoking at the bar, and then it goes into your car when you learn how to drive, and then it's on the phone with your friends. And as you can see, it just gets more and more generalized in your life. This doesn't mean you have to keep the damn habit. Make a decision that your health is more worthwhile than that. And by all means, if you're a smoker, stop bumming cigarettes off of other people. They don't need to be able to afford your own disgusting, gross, deadly habit for you. It's codependence, and it's really bad. My suggestion, stop smoking. And fill it in with something a lot more fun for yourself. You can just tell yourself you're going to take some deeper breaths, or maybe you're going to take some nice cold water or some nice warm tea instead of smoking. There's many things that a person can do instead of smoking. Anything but smoking. How many times have you been out with somebody and they have their cell phone on them and the thing is on? And this is supposed to be a one-on-one with someone you really care about, who you know cares about you, and you hadn't seen them in a while because they're so busy in their lives. And they answer the phone, and it's somebody taking their attention away from you. Now, I've had this happen on so many occasions with certain people in my life, it's to the point where I don't even want to spend time with them because I'm not spending time with them. I get to spend the time with them that's between all their phone conversations time. Let me ask you a question. Do you like it when people answer their phones when they're spending time with you? Does it make you feel good about yourself? Does it make you feel like you're spending your time wisely? Does it make you feel important or cared about by that person? I didn't think so. My request when I go and I meet people and I tell them this up front, I have my phones, and the only reason my phone might be on is if I have a suicidal type personality that I'm working with, i.e. someone who suffers major depression, we're working through some hard stuff, and they might need me at that moment. But the reality of the situation is you know, even then, they can leave a message and I'll get back to them. There's really very few reasons that a person needs to have a phone on them. There's also the situation where people think that, oh my God, if there's an emergency and someone needs me and something horrible happens, let me ask you a question. After the ambulance comes and takes them away, how long did you have to wait before you got any input as to what was going on with that person or there was anything that you could do to help that person? If you're not a doctor, if you're not a nurse, if you're not a mental health professional, there's going to be very little you can do to help that person. Get over it. They need the right appropriate help, and only when the situation is under control is there anything that you can truly do to help the situation. Because until then, you don't know what you can do, do you? And hanging out in a hospital just waiting, pacing the floor and making yourself crazy is not a very good use of your time. The call will come. You'll find out what you need to do. And at that time, you can go take care of it. But until then, truly, you send love and light and you move on with your life until you know what the answer is and what you can do to step in and help out. Now, there are those occasions when you get a call and it really truly is an emergency. And those do happen. My godson's father called me when there was an emergency with my godson. This is going many, many moons ago. He was going through a really hard time, and they needed to get a medical evaluation of him, and I was there in a second flat. And then the person with whom I had an acupuncture appointment, I needed to reschedule it with her, and she was a little upset with me, and she wanted to know why it was that I had to show up for my godson and his family. And I told her, basically, because that's what friends and family do for friends and family. He wanted me to be there with a daughter who's a bit younger, because I had no idea how long they were going to be at the hospital getting this medical evaluation done for my godson. So I was there. And it is correct. I really had little to nothing more to do with this particular person, because, you see, it's not up to someone else to decide what's important to you. That's your choice and how you decide to move forward with your life. What I'm asking you to do, though, is I want you to really think about, is your time being wisely spent on the things of importance to you and the people that truly matter to you because you matter to them? Because in the end, there was some very interesting research that I was reading not that long ago that had to say that as important as diet and smoking can be to a person's health and well-being, it's the quality of your relationships that matter more than anything else in terms of quality of life, in term of life. So these relationships are very important. And if you have people in your life who are wasting your time, making you feel badly because you made a decision to spend your very limited time with them because they're not being there eye to eye, soul to soul with you, maybe perhaps it's time for you to make a different decision as to what you're doing with your time and with whom you're doing that which you're doing with your time. Boundaries are so important. I teach them to everybody who comes in to work with me because your time and your emotions, meaning your feelings, are things that can make you feel really good about yourself or really bad about yourself. So one needs to be very cognizant of how one is spending their time and their emotions. Now, I would like to tell you about two programs I'm going to be running very soon in Palo, California, at the Indian Reservation for Palo Indians. It's going to be wonderful. The first one is going to be the first weekend in December, and it's for, and you're going to have to apply for this program because we only have space for 50 families. You heard me right, families. This is going to be for diabetic youth, type 2 only. Hear that? Type 2 diabetic youth and their parents. And what's going to happen is you're going to go and learn about why diabetic medication makes people more ill over the long haul. Research is in. This is the truth. Why sugar levels don't matter. It's leptin hormone that matters. And why it is that your diet and a little bit of exercise, or the way I like to say it is increased activity, can reverse the type 2 diabetes. And I'm going to have a very special guest there, a woman with whom I've been working a lot of recipes, which I'll be sharing with you, and the foods that are healthy, which I'll be sharing with you to fill up your household with, and the things to definitely stay away from for your youth to turn around their diabetes so they can be healthy, happy, productive individuals in their own right without having to be different, worrying about their diet, or taking medicine that's not going to help them in the long run. This is going to be a fun experience. I'm going to have Indian elders come in and talk with us about the environment and why that's important so that we understand why we have to take care of the environment of our body as well. And we're going to have some very important breakthrough exercises that we're going to be doing there, so that you as a family and each of you individually will be able to break through whatever those blocks may be to health, wealth, happiness, and purposefulness in your life. The second program I am running is going to be the first weekend in February at the same place, the Palo Indian Reservation. And in this case, this is for professional healthcare providers. People who are finding that they're not that happy or fulfilled in their work any longer. I know that from the time that I was working with my father in his dental practice, and we're going back to the the years 1976 to 1983, before AIDS was even an issue, really, because he wasn't using gloves at that time, or mask, because this wasn't an issue yet, how the life of a medical professional has changed, especially when we're talking about allopathic, i.e. Western medicine. With the overtake of the pharmaceutical companies and insurance companies, things have gotten rather difficult. Doctors are spending way too much time filling out paperwork, having to pay administrative assistants to fill out this paperwork, and the time that it's involved is amazingly confusing, frustrating, and one has to wonder why they went into working with people when you're spending more time looking at paper. There are different ways that we can look about helping you to reframe how you do your practice, reframe how you think about the work that you're doing, and reframe how you want to go about living your life so that you can reclaim it. Because this is the deal, and you know this better than most. Stress is what is behind most, if not all, illnesses. Yes, we can have genetic predispositions to different things. This is true. But Bruce Lipton, in his beautiful book, Biology of Belief, tells you that genetics is not necessarily the outcome. It's not. It's epigenetics and getting into the thought process of what it is that you're thinking and how to shift your thinking to be more positive. And who better to do that with than a master practitioner of hypnosis, neurolinguistic programming, and timeline therapy, as well as a certified teacher of all of those things. Isn't it about time that you learned how to help yourself? Not only in how to help yourself, but how about train yourself in how to work with your patients in a much better way? How would you like to be certified in hypnosis and neurolinguistic programming? How would that suit you? Because this is what I can do for you healthcare professional people, if you so choose. We can get you certified in these aspects that you're learning on a basic level so that you can do these processes with your own patients for quicker, better, more ecological results. Ecological meaning good for your patient, good for you, and good for the world at large. Thoughts for you to think about. If this sounds interesting to you at all, please let me know. Give me a call at 781-315-1719. I'm in the process of putting them both together right now. And when you call, I will certainly have the fee scheduled together. And we need to find out if you're a good fit, because honestly, my reputation is based upon the results my clients get, and I have a stellar reputation for the clients that I work with thus far. Check me out all over the internet. It's all over. So this is why. It's because I choose people who are motivated to do whatever it takes to get to where they're going. For you healthcare professionals, you are the most important people. If you're not feeling good about your work, if you're not feeling good about your life, how in the hell are you going to be able to congruently help your patients? And I know that some of you know that you're not feeling very congruent. Some of you aren't feeling good at all about what you're doing. So here's an opportunity for you to turn it around in basically a weekend. So again, call me, Suzanne, at 781-315-1719 for the details for these most important life-changing weekends that are going to be totally amazing. Because let me tell you this, I've been to so many seminars, I've been to so many retreats, I've been all over the world doing these things, and let me tell you something, I've learned from all different kinds of people, and you're going to get the best of the best, plus some of my own stuff that is, well, my own stuff. That's why you'd want to do it with me, right? Okay, so again, call me at 781-315-1719 for disappearing type 2 diabetes in youth. That will be the first weekend in December, the 3rd, 4th, 5th, and there'll be a VIP day on the 6th. And for healthcare professionals deserve to be healthy and happy too, it will be the first week in February, again, on the 3rd, 4th, 5th, and a VIP day of the 6th of February. As always, I thank you for taking your time to be with me. Until next time. If you have found the information that we have shared with you here on Claim Your Excellent Life to be helpful and interesting, please do us a favor of giving us a rating on iTunes. We hope it will be 5 stars. as well as a review. Doing both these acts will move the podcast up in the ratings on iTunes so more people will be able to find us. Also, please do us the favor of letting your friends and colleagues know about this podcast so they too can gain the knowledge that we're sharing here. We'd like as many people as possible to learn from what we have to give here. And we thank you for your time and effort in doing so.
Thank you for listening to the podcast, Claim Your Excellent Life, with your host, Suzanne Kellner-Zink, where she helps professional women learn how to be happy. Suzanne teaches you how to do this through building high self-esteem, relaxation and calm, and good, healthy relationships. Tune in every week as Suzanne shares effective strategies to help you claim your excellent life with happiness techniques, self-esteem building exercises, relationship tips, and relaxation information. Make sure to head over to dawningvisions.com to subscribe to the newsletter to receive your keys to happiness, as well as other useful free gifts for you.